Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 334. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have back. Not back, but I did it again. We recorded this twice, but I'm going to keep going because back on a podcast that I host, but first time on the FitCast,
right.
Georgia Dow. Georgia, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I just had a coughing fit. I'm here, though. I'm good, though I sound funny.
Well, this is going to be a great episode. I know it. I can feel it because a lot of times, like I'll have people on the show all the time where, you know, whether they're, you know, strength coaches or trainers or nutritionists or whatever. And we always try to play psychotherapist when we're trying to think of what, you know, people are thinking when it comes to the decisions they make, you know, for themselves, for their body, for their health. And a lot of this is coming off of books we read, whether it be on, you know, willpower or creating good habits or setting goals. So it'll be great to talk to someone who is like a pro, an actual psychotherapist, to figure out what the hell we're all doing and why we think all these crazy things.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly.
So before we get going, I do know, I know Georgia from the Isometric and the Vector podcast and also iMore.com and the iMore show all over the place. Also MacBreak Weekly. So, We talked a little bit about this in the other segment, but a lot of times we get like lots of questions from people just who cannot figure out how to manage their time properly.
Right.
Right. How do you do it? Are you someone that just like has like a whiteboard with your whole schedule on there, or how do you filter all this stuff down to figure out what you can actually get done, and then you end up you get a ton of stuff done.
Right. Well, okay. So I'm really lucky. I have a lot of support. Two, I used to be really very poor at time management, and probably, Renee and Anthony would be like, no, you're still pretty bad actually at time management. But what I try to do is I try to get the things that I really enjoy, I make a time for, I make a schedule. And I'm horrible with keeping like a calendar, a schedule, dealing with it. So what I do is I write it on my phone. And I set a reminder. So I'm like, Siri, remind me this time. So I have a reminder the day before, and I can schedule out my day because of that. If I didn't, I would completely forget probably most of the things or overschedule or overbook. And I do lean towards doing more things than I should at times. But now I think I'm getting pretty good with the ebb and flow of like, how much can you actually handle? I think that a lot of people don't think about their own life meters. We are like video game characters in a lot of ways. We have a life meter. And when we do things, certain things gives us energy and some certain things take away energy. You have to monitor that. If at the end of the day, you are overdrawn and you're exhausted, you've used up too much. You've done too much in certain aspects of your life. I try to make sure that I always keep like a 20% of my life meter for like just being human. So I'm not home and like dead on the thing and I can't do anything. I try to make sure that I'm there so I can still be there for my family, dealing with things. If an emergency comes up, I'm still in a functional state. And doing podcasts, I love doing them. Like that's fun for me. I enjoy that. That gives me energy and I enjoy it quite a lot. So for me, that's like a give back activity. So it doesn't cost me in my energy levels. It costs me in my time. So then I make sure that, okay, this is my scheduled time for this. And then I plan it accordingly.
Were you ever, you said you're better now than you used to be. Were you ever like a procrastinator? Did you ever just have, you know, trouble getting going?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny because I'm a perfectionist, I'm a procrastinating perfectionist, which is probably one of the worst personality types to have. So I will be so worried about doing something if it's new to me and I care about it. And so there's a great chance of failure in that. And so that would make me not wait to do something till it's too late and then go crazy and like stay up all night to get it done. But I want it to be perfect. And that starts me spinning because, you know, now I've used up my time limit and now I have to try to rush to try to get something done and really, really be good at it. And I find that that was just a killer to me. It was really horrible. And then I ended up doing something and I hated writing schedules and dealing with it. But in school, how I survived getting over that is that I actually wrote out a schedule of all the things that I have to do in a list. And and I actually scheduled a time for each paper, each workout, each training, each competition that I had to do. And I would schedule them into my sheet so that I knew how much time I had. And it lowered my anxiety greatly because I had this beautiful calendar. And then underneath it, I had all my things. And it was just, I would do one thing a day. And it kept all my paper. I was like, it was awesome because I'd be like the one, instead of the one that was like never done their paper, I'd be like the first one to hand it in because I knew that that's my only time that I could do it because on Tuesday I'm doing training for a competition and the next day I'm doing something else. So it's pretty fun way to go about managing your anxiety.
Anxiety. Oh man, we can talk about that. All right. So we got questions from the audience, but I'm gonna pilot this a little bit because there's some general topics that always end up on the show where I'm talking to people about whether it's like goal setting or just for people that are trying to get to where they want to be health or fitness wise. And one of the things that always keeps coming up is the inability to change the behaviors or the patterns that we are in. Like sometimes mm-hmm. we will be good for 24, 48, even 72 hours. But then there's something about that, you know, after that third day where we start missing those old habits, even though they're negative or they're bad, then we end up going back to them. Can we talk a little bit just about like how to change our behaviors or, you know, what you think works best for people?
Right. Well, we are really pattern oriented, and that was very useful for us in our survival because, you know, if we do a pattern and we haven't died off from it, then the pattern probably isn't that dangerous to us, mm-hmm. even if it's a negative pattern, even if it's something that's not good for us but didn't kill us off. So the way that our brain works is that the more that you do something, the more that you're making like an interconnected highway in your brain. So when you do something, you're forming like, you know, synapses are touching and you're forming your network. It's mm-hmm. almost like a superhighway. The more you do it, the greater, thicker your superhighway becomes. And our brain wants to travel through the easiest pathways, the ones that are the most set. That's the simplest for us. That's the least of a brain cost to us, is to do what we have already done more often. So what we have to do in order to change a pattern, and that's the reason that we fall into these horrible traps of we're always going to want to do something that feels better, that is not going to be damaging to us. But usually, like, exercise and getting motivated to work out or to train or to study, that's actually, like, it's a little bit of suffering, right? Like, mm-hmm. working out, even if you love it, and after a while you might actually get into the habit of getting a huge dopamine response and it's really good and you'll look forward to it, but it's also strenuous. So that's a little bit of a cost to our system. And biologically, we didn't want to waste calories where we didn't need to. So what you have to do is you want to reward yourself just from getting into the habit of, say, just going to the gym. Don't even work out. I don't even care. Just go. Read a magazine. Get a coffee. But just get into the habit of getting dressed, going to the gym, or just putting on your running shoes before you go to the run. Don't even run. Just get into the habit of going out, or just going out for like a minute, or just walking it. I think that we just need to start building new pathways. And if you can then reward yourself for it, now, like, you know, you go out and if you do it, you know, you give yourself a sticker or write it down in a journal or, you know, give yourself even like, you know, something that you like to drink, have a nice tea, mm-hmm. give yourself a little reward. Now you're increasing the amount of dopamine that you get. Now you're rewarding yourself for an activity. Anything that gives you dopamine, you will have an increased chance. That's a reward neuron. Mm-hmm. That increases the chance that that behavior will happen again. But remember that it is a cost. So you want to make sure that you do that. Do it enough. You will get a new habit that will be stronger than what your old habit was. But that's why exercise is so hard, especially when it's winter. It's cold outside. Our bodies are not made to want to expend energy when it was already a dangerous time of the year for us, right? Like, winters were very hard for us. Shortening of the time that we see the sun means that there's just less food, there's less resources, and biologically speaking, we wanted to stay more into the cave during those periods of time so that we didn't, you know, lose all of our resources because of that. And so biologically, we're made to want to sleep more be less motivated, not really do as much. And so you also have to fight biology a little bit when you're wanting to build a new habit.
I wonder if that could be potentially why people seem to be a little bit healthier in warmer climates. Do you think like people that maybe it's just like I'm thinking Los Angeles where people are always got to be everyone's just obsessed with or people are more obsessed with fitness and their nutrition over there because there's Whole Foods all over the place. I don't know.
I think that probably part of it is, but I don't think that that's the greatest part to that. I think that the main part is that it's a lot of people there are into what they look like, what their physical appearance looks like, and yeah. You see everyone else looking really nice, and it puts a lot of pressure on you. And also, you know, you're wearing less clothing so people can see how fit you are or not. And so I think that that's another cultural pressure that is placed upon you. I think that in a lot of cases it's a negative, not just a positive. Even though people look better, I think that people are very hard on themselves when they come from an area of the world where there's a lot of people that look beautiful and that care a lot about what they look because you think, well, then maybe I should too. Maybe there's something wrong with me for not caring that much about my physical appearance.
Let's talk a little bit about, I wouldn't even necessarily call it like willpower, but for a lot of people, their biggest issue is not really getting into the gym and training. Like they really enjoy the training. It's just they sometimes have problems when you know, they go shopping and they pass by the you know, the Oreos or something like that, something that, you know, they're really craving and they're not able to just stick to having one or two. It's more of a case where, yeah, if I'm going to get these Oreos, I'm going to just have the whole thing. And just having really, I guess, control over their eating habits. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that that's a really strong one. So food makes us feel happy. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and that's why we want sugary or fatty foods. And those are usually the junk foods that people go to or sometimes salty. Mm-hmm. So that gives us a little bit of a high. It makes us feel good. And a lot of people and a lot of cultures use food as love. So it's not just comfort, but it's also affection, right? I never met a Oreo cookie that ever said no to me, right? It works. So you end up with this relationship with food that is unhealthy in and of itself because mm-hmm. I think that food should be used for pleasure, and I think that you should live a balanced life. I think that, you know, unless you are a professional and you have to go on a certain diet because you're a bodybuilder and you have to cut down to a certain amount, then you have to be exceptionally disciplined. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would be sad if it was just alfalfa sprouts was my last meal. You know, like I want to eat, I want to enjoy, but I want it to be balanced way. And I think for most people, that's where they fit in. So one is like, let's just go through some real basic, simple tips on, you know, when you go shopping, don't be hungry.
Yeah.
Don't be hungry. Don't, you know, have your glucose levels to be low. You should probably go shopping when you are the most motivated to stay fit. And you have to be able to be honest with yourself when that might be. So probably not on your Sunday sloth day when you're chilling out and relaxing. That's going to be when you're like, oh, I'm chilling out and relaxing. I might as well grab those Oreos or chips or whatever else you might have. You should go maybe on like the Monday morning after you've done your run and you're feeling really motivated and you had your like, you know, your morning juice and you're like just feeling really, really good. And that's mm-hmm. going to lessen the chances that you're going to go to something that is fulfilling a need in you that is not just for hunger. Then you have to be really honest with yourself. What are your pitfalls? So if you're going to be able to eat like 1,000 Oreos, Don't buy Oreos. Buy something that's not as good. Like buy cookies, but cruddy cookies.
That's it. I'm gonna pause there for. I want to pause there for a second because that's sticking that for a second because that's a great point. Like for me, there's these things called Quest bars, and there's a bunch of different flavors. They're all pretty good, but I found when I would get like what they would call like cookies and cream, that variety, I would just like demolish a box in 2 days instead of having the apple pie version, which, you know, I would be a little bit more controlled and I would have like maybe one or two of those a day instead of having six a day.
Right.
Because of how much. Right. I mean, it's the same thing. They're both good.
Yeah.
But I couldn't control the intake of, you know, one of the varieties at all.
Right. I used to do the same thing actually with gum. I used to chew a lot of gum, like too much gum. And even if it was sugar-free, but I would just eat, like I'd go through a pack and like a day or a day and a half. I was like just eating. I loved gum. And so I ended up buying, sometimes I would want gum just because I ate something and it's garlicky and I'm in session and I don't want to kill off my poor clients with, you know, garlic breath. And so instead I bought gum, but I bought cinnamon flavored gum because I liked the flavor of cinnamon, but the gum was just way too powerful and I was not going to bulk eat cinnamon gum. So I ended up buying cinnamon gum for a while. And then later I could go back to buying like, you know, tastier gum because I was like, okay, well, I'm never going back to having to do the cinnamon thing. So I might as well just learn to control my intake with these because I don't want to have to go back to doing that, but I will if I have to. And I believed that I would do it. Like, you have to also believe that you will follow through with whatever rules that you have by proving to yourself that you'll, you know, do something like that. So I think that that's a great way of buying. Like, buy the cookies. Just don't buy the cookies you really love. Buy the cookies that only when it's really necessary will you have them. Because if you don't have them in your house, then there's a less chance that you're going to eat them, right?
Much bigger hurdle. You got to I got to get in the car. I got to turn the car on. I got to drive. Right. I got to go. Yeah. And then you show up.
Yeah.
And then what if you're in the store and you're the person that's just buying a pack of Oreos?
Right.
You don't want to be just like, oh, this person's just going to go smoke those Oreos. They're going to crush those things.
Right. Or do something like, you know, air-popped popcorn. And you want to keep also, we're really lazy. So you want to, like, you know, so if I have, like, you know, something that's really sweet and that I love it, like chocolate-covered pretzels, which I love. Dark chocolate-covered pretzels are like, oh, they're amazing.
Hell yeah.
But I'll eat them until I'm sick. So if I do buy them, I will grab them and I'll put them, like I'll throw them at the back of the shelf. Like in the back of one of my shelves, there's probably like, my husband's looking at me now. He's going to know where I hide all the goodies. He's looking at me like, what? Where are those?
It's like a dog just like woke up and heard the treats or something.
Oh yeah, 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 exactly. So I throw them in the back. So it's really hard to find. And I usually forget about them. Like I've had stuff that there's like gummy bears there that are like, you know, ancient. And only when I clear out the kitchen and like, you know, every once in a while, I'll clear out all the stuff there and just throw it out. No one even knows it exists. Out of sight, out of mind. Plus, I will put buy a veggie platter, and I'll put that on the table where I sit and watch TV and work. So I'm lazy, right? People are naturally lazy. We want the economy of our own energy. So I'll eat the carrots. If I really, really want a pretzel, I'll go up, get on a chair because I'm short. So I'm like, you know, 5'0". So I have to stand on a chair to go grab and then rummage through everything to find what I need, and then I figure, okay, well, if that might be the case, great. But then I don't grab the whole bag of chocolate-covered pretzels and bring them with me. Okay, sometimes I do. But if I'm trying to be good, I will just remove my amount of like 5 pretzels, which is probably too little. But let's say 7 pretzels. Mm-hmm. And then I will bring them with me, throw the bag back, so I have to go through the whole rigmarole again. And I have the veggie platter. So usually the 5 to 7 pretzels will do me good, and then I'll eat the veggies for the rest of the time, and I'll feel good about it. You have to game the system.
You totally have to. Sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. Anything else when it comes to that stuff?
Well, I think that you need to make a list of what you're going to purchase before you happen to go.
Yeah.
We are pattern oriented, and if you have them on the list, that these are the things that I'm going to buy, and you check them off or get an app for that, there's a much greater chance that you're going to follow what rule you have already set for yourself. Plus, you want to give yourself a little give. Mm-hmm. You want to give yourself so that you don't feel like, because what could happen is if you're really, really strict with yourself, is you're going to feel like you're missing out, and then you might just go crazy. And then, unfortunately, what happens if you've eaten, like, you know, the whole bag of Oreos on, you know, after week 3, is you're like, oh, you know what, now who cares? I might as well eat 16 more Oreos because I've already, like, we think in our mind that we've already ruined it. Mm-hmm. And so then who cares now? It doesn't matter. We don't think that, you know, one less Oreo is better than one more Oreo.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Like even like, you know, one less bite of a donut as an exercise in discipline, I'll eat like a whole donut except for like a bite. Just to say I can say no to myself, which is just an exercise in saying I can set limits and say okay to that. So you want to make sure that you deal with it in that way beforehand. And then say to yourself that if you fall off the wagon and you, you know, don't exercise for a few days, that's what we do, right? That happens to all of us, and that's normal. And that, you know, I'm going to, you know, so fine, I've eaten 10 Oreos, but no, I might as well not finish the bag. It's better than eating 11 Oreos or 12 or 13 or 14. And you can just get back on the wagon the next day or that minute And then that's okay. I think we're way too hard on ourselves, especially when it comes to eating healthy and fitness.
I know a thing that comes up a lot too, I mean, even with me personally, is rationalization.
Right.
And like trying to say, like you said, well, I already had like 8 Oreos. My diet for the day is done. Like that, it's game over. Might as well just like screw it. Might as well just like say, oh, we're going out tonight. Let's go for pizza instead.
Right.
Because I already had Oreos. It's in the loss column.
Which is so illogical, right?
I know, but what we do it.
Yeah, we rationalize all kinds of things. It's the little lies that we tell ourselves to do what we already want to do. You have to, like, what you should do is you should write down when you fall off, like, you know, your regular routine of what you want and what you find is healthy. You should write down what happened. Like, write it down on paper. What did I do? Okay, so, you know, I had a fight with my girlfriend and I ate a bag of Oreos. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Maybe they're like, and write down your whole day. It might not be as straightforward as that. But a lot of people are emotional eaters. Other people are stress eaters. Other people are eaters when they're feeling angry. Mm-hmm. We all have different habits. You want to know what are your habits. So you can say to yourself, okay, I just had a fight with someone. Well, now I have a great chance because you look back on your journal and you say the last 6 times that I ate a bag of Oreos or I ate the whole chips or I ordered 3 pizzas, it was because of a fight that I had with someone and I was feeling guilty or I was feeling bad or I was angry at myself. And it was a form of self-sabotage or torture that I'm doing to me just to punish myself for it or to try to avoid thinking about it for a while. If you know that, then the next time you have a fight, right away you'll be like, you know what? I better go hit the gym. Because if not, the pizzas are coming next. And so it gives you a good gameplay of how am I going to, you know yourself well enough to say, I can see that I'm about to hit a wall. This is the pattern that makes me hit a wall. Let's turn before I hit it. And so you write down, ate a bag of Oreos. Then you write, so you write down what happens, ate the bag of Oreos. Why does it bother you? Well, because it totally wrecks the plan of what I have for my fitness routine. You know, what should I do instead? And then you make your strategy after the fact of like, I'm going to work out instead. I'm going to call a friend. I'm going to, you know, make myself a good juice, do some meditation, whatever it might be that works for you. And then the next time that happens, right away when the precipitating event occurs, you know, do my strategy. I have a game plan. And once we have a plan, and it's not always going to activate right away perfectly, which is fine. But once you have a plan, there's a greater chance that you're going to be able to go through with it because you're not blind to it. A lot of people, if I say, you know, they say, you know what, I had 17, you know, bags of chips. I'll say, well, why did you have 17 bags of chips? They'll say, I don't know. That's not good enough. You know, any game that you know well enough you can win at, including us, we are patterned-oriented creatures. So you want to be really honest with yourself. And instead of just being angry at yourself or feeling ashamed of yourself, say, no, listen, something's happening here. Let's try to figure out what it is so that I can stop it for the next time. Because that's all we can do, right, is do better next time.
Do you find it hard to get people to be honest with themselves? Like, do you find like you have to spend a lot of time helping them dig?
Not a lot of the people that I see, really. I think that most people, by the time that they come to me, they want out. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a private therapist, so you're spending, you know, hard-earned money to come see me. The same thing if you hire a personal trainer. You want it. If you're going to put your money there, you want to actually get better. So most of the people are very motivated to change. I see that more with real life, like just people with I meet. I'm not there to be their therapist. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to call them out on it. I think that makes people feel uncomfortable. It's why people – I don't tell people that I'm a psychotherapist when they meet me because right away I get that oh, God – look in their eyes, I'm not going to say anything anymore. Or, oh my God, what did I already say to her before I knew this? Just, I want people to feel comfortable. I'm, you know, everyone's fallible, myself included. But I think that in most of the time, people have a hard time with admitting it just because they feel bad about it. And so we try to block things away that we're not proud of. But most of the most interesting things about us are the stuff that we do wrong. You know, no one's perfect person, and how boring and dull that would be. No one would want to hang out with us if we were. So lucky for us that we're all fallible.
Now that I'm thinking of it, I think the time that I always have breaks or if I go off in a bad direction when it comes to like food and stuff like that. It's sleep related when I'm tired.
If I'm tired,
I just like, I want this energy right now. And you know how I can get that energy real fast? Is a bunch of garbage. Food.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that sleep is important for many things. And it's one of the related, the health related fields that we have undermined in our culture because we feel that sleep was wasting time. I slept the day away. It's a way of saying that I wasted the time that I have.
Yeah.
And there is a possibility of getting too much sleep. That can happen. But rarely is that the case with our culture right now. We figure that, you know, we can be more productive being awake than we can when we're sleeping. Not at all the case. It's so vastly important to us. And one of the reasons why we eat more when we're sleep deprived is one, exactly as you said, for, you know, you get that boost of energy, which is depleted very, very quickly. And it's, you know, one of those things that will not be able to be self-fulfilled. The other reason is that if we haven't slept enough, our bodies naturally sense that that must mean that there's a danger somewhere. Because it's the only time we wouldn't sleep, right? It's because there's a danger. And so danger means that we should store more energy, right? We should make sure that we've eaten everything so that in case that the invading tribe comes in, we've eaten all of the resources and we have them in me and we don't have to worry about having them lost or stolen or taken by someone else. So it's also a biological reason. So I think that you're absolutely right. Sleep is essential and it's a skill. If you have bad sleep habits, you should fix that. I have a full like sleep set that I do with people that have bad sleep habits. It's relatively easy to fix. Hard to get started on and a lot of stuff you're gonna have to do that you don't want to naturally do. But I think that you're absolutely right. We need, if you're training, you have to be sleeping. Plus, it's the time that your body repairs. You repair most of the time when you're asleep. So especially if you're doing something that's very damaging to your body, such as weightlifting, which you're like making little tears, and you want to then repair it so that you get the muscle, right? That's what you're supposed to be able to do. And, you know, and that's probably why I'm sick, is because I didn't sleep enough when I was, you know, at all doing the talks and I was like being with people. And it was a calculated choice. But your reparation time happens during your deep sleep. And if you're not sleeping enough, you're missing out on some of that repair time for your body. So actually, you'll be able to be stronger, more repaired, less chance of injury, less chance that you're going to make a mistake because your brain is more organized. You also organize all of your day's laundry when you sleep. It's like putting your stuff into the proper categories. And that's why when we're sleep deprived, it's harder to figure out what word you should use, what sentence. We, you know, stick our keys in the fridge and, you know, take our, you know, cart of milk with us instead. Like those kind of silly things happen often when we're sleep deprived. And yes, you will gain calories more. You'll actually store calories faster as well. Even if you eat the same amount, you're in more of a storage mode when you're sleep deprived. So it's really, really bad for us.
We might end up circling back to sleep later, but so I have this guy named Future Kevin. And I don't give a crap about Future Kevin. I just don't care about him. He does not matter. Present Kevin is the man. I love him.
Right.
I do everything I can for him. And
he's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy. I make sure he's always happy. But Future Kevin, I this is when I talk to myself in my head. This is what, that Future Kevin, screw that dude. He can do the work.
Right.
What am I doing?
Right.
Because it, like whether it be like. I did this all the time, like throughout high school and college. Like I always did my homework at the last minute because Future Kevin, like that's his problem. I don't give a crap about him. But and it's like it's transitional, like adult life, and you know, I dealt with it more in the past. Where same idea. Like I'm going out with my friend tonight. You know, I can drink and we can go have some crappy food because that's I don't really have to deal with that. That's Future Kevin. Like he can work that off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. What am I doing to myself, Georgia? What
right?
Why am I thinking this stuff?
right. Well, because you're just delaying suffering, right? You don't. There's something that if you wanted to do it, it would be like you know you'd be like I'm doing this now. So what you're doing is you're just trying to have instant gratification of what you have now and not worry about any of the consequences of what you're going to have to do for later. I think that we're all a little bit like that, though. You know, if I have paperwork and I can put it off. I used to think that I'll just put it off as quickly as possible and that'll be, you know, the best way because I don't want to suffer right now. Suffering later always seems better. I deal with it mostly by thinking of the mindset of that no matter what, I'm carrying the backpack of the stuff that I have to do on me at all times. And so I'll be like, you know what? This is with me. This stress of having to do this paper or these book work or, you know, this training or eating healthy, it's with me all the time. And so I figure that if I do it now and, you know, I order something that I'll be proud of or I'll do my workout right away, then I can truly enjoy because I've taken one rock out of my backpack and placed it down instead of having to carry it. And then after a while, my backpack gets heavy, something happens. And it's the same reason that I say that the stuff that you have to do that you don't like, you should do it immediately when you wake up. Like everything that you can get done, do it as soon as possible.
Eat that frog. Brian Tracy. Now that like my boss literally bought me that book like a couple years ago because I had, he's like, Kev, I think you need this book. And then you'll have that, like, and that's, I want to, wow, there's so much stuff I want to talk about, but also I'm going to write this down for like motivational stuff. Like I feel that you read a book that's like motivational and it has like a 2 week, it lasts like for a good 2 weeks, the effect. And then you forget. And then you go back to where you were. You go back to like the starting point.
Yeah, exactly. The buzz of the book is over. One is that I think that when you read a lot of self-help books, there's just too much stuff on it. Like it's overwhelming in often all of the steps. And you want to, a lot of people that work out are type A personalities. They're highly driven, highly motivated, achievement oriented, but very hard on themselves, lean towards perfectionism, relatively critical and can often, you know, procrastinate and just kind of throw everything out because of that fear of failure. Mm-hmm. I think that if you read a book, you should break it down into little pieces. And what I do, and I really do this, is whatever are my goals, I stick to like two goals. That's it. Sometimes only one. And I'll write it down on a piece of paper and I stick it to my wall in my living room where it's actually opposite my living room. So I'm staring at it.
How big is this paper? Is this like a printout?
It's like a, 8x12. Like I'm just grabbing some like photocopy paper. I grab a mark. Like this is nothing fancy. You can make it fancy. That would be cool. I don't care if my friends see it because I'm like, I think this is a great idea. You should do it too.
So it's just making sure that it's always kind of like in the front of mind.
Exactly. It's there to remind you. You know, if you're trying to eat healthy, stick a thing saying, you know, eat healthy on your fridge. See it there. So you're always looking at it that says, you know what? Eat healthy. A little bit more healthy is better than a little bit more, you know, unhealthy. And I'd still say have the chocolate chip cookie, but have one, don't have six or, you know, don't have 50, you know, like you can still enjoy life, but you want to be, have something else that's there to remind you to be able to keep at it. Plus if you have other people that are motivated as well and then you can work as a pack instead of having your friends be like, come on, you know, have the chicken wings. They're amazing. But to have a pack of people that you're around that will support each other to be able to say, you know what? Let's go do this. I think that we should have a run. I think that we should do this. And this is a great, healthy, delicious treat that we can kind of like, you know, dip into both worlds and enjoy it. I think that that's something that's really a good way to kind of keep yourself motivated. But just simpler is better. We get too complex. We get too fancy. We try to make this way too difficult. And then the rest is just then habit forming. And also knowing that there's a certain amount of suffering and be proud of that, that, you know, not eating the chicken wings or just having one chicken wing or two chicken wings instead of, you know, 12. Yeah, there's a cost. Remind yourself of the benefit to that. You know, I'm not going to treat my body like a garbage can. Awesome. That's the way I feel about people that have to eat everything on their plate. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you doing that? You know, there's something that's wrong with that. Because once your body is said it's full, and we often don't listen to our body, unfortunately, we lie to ourselves about it. Because once you feel full, it's going to take another 20 minutes. You're going to get all the rest of the glucose that's in your system. You're actually going to be over full. So you have to stop when you're satiated, when you're like, I think this is good. I don't even feel full yet. Because then 20 minutes later, you're going to be even more full. It takes our body a certain amount of time to break down the sugars, to bring it to our blood. And then that's how we realize what our blood sugar levels are. And that's, you know, so that takes a while. So you have to know that 20 minutes later, you're going to feel worse than what you do now or more full than what you had expected. So you also want to slow down what you eat, smaller portions, and enjoy and taste your food. But that thought of that I should eat everything because it's given to me and it would be a waste. And this is that old habit of it's a waste to throw it away. Mm-hmm. And this comes from the time of like when people were dealing with wars and poverty. And then, yes, it was a waste because you don't know when the next meal would come. Our society isn't like that anymore, though. Food is not just plentiful in most of what, if you're lucky, in most of Western culture. This is definitely a cultural bias for Western or modern cultures. There are some places of food where there's a lot of poverty, and then you should eat everything because who knows when the next meal will come. But for us, it's the opposite. We're dealing with obesity. We're dealing with people that are very lethargic. We don't even get up anymore to turn a channel on a TV. Mm-hmm. So you want to think that, you know, it's the opposite. We have to start training our kids to, instead of eat everything on the plate, to listen to if you are hungry or not and then stop when you can, because it is actually better for us to throw it in the garbage than to use ourselves as a garbage.
That's a damn good analogy. I want to first apologize to anyone if you potentially, just the company of Nabisco. You're getting a real bad rap this episode, and I think you have fine products.
Are they a sponsor? I love you, Nabisco. They're amazing.
I'm saying this because like 6 months ago, I said something really like almost like negative about another company. And then I got an email because you just don't realize who listens to these shows.
Okay.
I got an email from someone like @blank.com. And they said, oh, I just want to let you know I work for this company. And, you know, yes, we might not have the best practices, but I just want to let you know we're listening and we heard what you said. So,
I think that's wonderful that they actually said that they listened and they heard.
I
love cookies. Cookies are great. Just, you know, you just want to treat yourself with respect and care, and be able to follow through with the things that you believe in.
Yeah, get those. If you go get those Oreos, they make them in like the small like 8-packs. That way you don't have 50 in the house. You just have 8 in the house, and then you can, like, share them with someone.
Right.
Oh, man, I wrote down all these notes. All right, so you mentioned, you know, putting something up on your wall, like the goal that you have, or even if someone is throwing something on the fridge, and like you put something
and I wouldn't even put the goal. I would put how to get to the goal, because everyone knows the goal.
Oh, okay.
I want to be fit. That's not going to help you. That's way too – there's too many steps in there to be able to deal with it. It would be – I'm going to exercise every day for a minimum of 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Did I do my – and I would then sticker every day. I would write down every single day on underneath that so everyone will see, right? A little bit of being publicly proud, mm-hmm. or publicly shamed if you want to look at it the other way. Whatever works. Did I do my 5 minutes of running? That's it. Just something small to get into a good habit. Jumping up and down during commercial. Whatever. Start where you can.
You just remind me to order a calendar. Oh, calendars are so cheap on Amazon.
Wow. They're so cheap. Or you can make your own or print them.
I'll just have Amazon Prime.
Right. Oh, then that's great. I'll do that.
It's one of those things I will just, I'll give them the $8 to, mm-hmm. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, go to Amazon and buy an at-a-glance monthly desk and wall calendar. They're like $7. Okay, so you write that, you put that up on the wall.
Yeah.
How long is that going to be effective before it's like a poster or a picture and it just blends in and you stop seeing it because it's no longer new? Like, do you use neon paper? Do you change the color? Do you change the position? Do you change the goal? Like, are you doing 2-week goals or what?
That's why I like to be interactive with it. It's not just sticking it up there. It's tracking when I do. Mm-hmm. Because then you're looking at it when you don't. And you'll say, it'll be a lot easier. Like, we lie to ourselves, right? Like, we just like you didn't train for a week. And you're like, you don't really want to think that you didn't train for a week. So you're going to keep that out of your mind. And there's no reminder there that you didn't train for a week. So that's why I would do the calendar. And I would like, I love stickers. Okay. Everyone knows me, knows that I love stickers. I'll work for stickers.
Where do you get your stickers? Do you order them online, or do you have a sticker shop, like a school supply
shop? I'll just
go
to the dollar store usually. I don't really care what the sticker is. They don't have to be fancy. If I'm really like, there's something that's a hard motivation for me, it's difficult to get motivated, I'll buy really cool ones. Like, I'll go out all out and buy the coolest stickers I can, because they're going to go on my wall and then I'm going to keep them. Mm. Like, so I might even use it in my journal, but I like to see it. Like, I I'll play a video game. I'll get every single achievement in the video game. Why? Because I can. Like, I'm just naturally achievement oriented. There's no reason. No one cares. No one even, well, I do a gaming podcast, so I can actually say it, but like, no one's going to like, whatever, Georgia, like, no one matters to them.
Look up your gamer score. You don't even play games.
Right. Man. Like, they're like, ah. So, but it's for me. I'll do that. So I know that works for me, but I will put it up on the wall and then I'll see. you know what? I worked out 20 of the 30 days this week.
Love it. Yeah.
Awesome. And then I'll know, you know what? I didn't work out yesterday. I didn't work out the day before. And that feeling of putting this, and again, maybe it's something different for you to track it, but we have to track our behaviors. You want to change it? Track it. I think that that's going to be one good thing about the Apple Watch, is that I'm going to know how fit or not fit I am. And I haven't, I'll be straight, I have not worked out in a really long time. And I could do the excuses of like, you know, I was doing these conferences and I've been sick and everything else. But I know I have to get back into it. It is something that I need to do for myself, for my self-worth. Plus, like, it's also really, working out is really good for your brain. So I know that I have to, you know, I stick up that tracking sheet. Oh, yeah, I will make sure I get my sticker that day. There is nothing stopping me from getting my sticker no matter what, because I'm just proud of me for doing it, period. Just to be, work out 5 minutes. You want to then. Did it. All this week. Awesome. Achievement unlocked.
All right. So, yeah. And I'm going to have to get you back on when like the Apple Watch is out, because we mentioned like the agenda free stuff that we both ordered one. And I'm really interested to see how that data is relayed back to the person that is wearing the watch, because like I've tried, I think I'm going to just be real. I think all like the fitness tracker stuff out there, like the things that go in your arm or like your pants, they suck.
Yeah.
Because you forget about them, they go in the wash
I don't recharge them.
You don't recharge them. And like the feedback that they're really giving you is super inaccurate. It's really not close.
You are so right. I hate that about it. And I actually, that makes me get angry, because I'll look at my like Jawbone or like something that I'm, whatever I happen to be using, and then I'll be like, I didn't work out that much, or I worked out a lot. And I'm like, what is up with that? And then I'll actually feel more demotivated to be able to work out after that, because I'm like, you're not even going to notice it. That's why my stickers are better, because I'm like, I will remember and I will see you stickers.
Well, totally. It's like, I'm not going to trust this thing at all. No. Like, because you screwed up once. Like, I cannot, whether it be, I remember the Fitbit, I literally put it on. Like, and then I had to do like an hour car ride, and it said I walked like 15 miles. Oh, because the car was bumping. You pick that up as a like walking. So
because it does not have a Jeep. Like, it's not tracking how like that you're not actually able to go 100 miles per hour. Yeah.
So we both have Apple Watches ordered, and we'll get them at, you know, some point. Who knows? Like, I think for me, it says mine's going to ship in May too. But I'm guessing that might just be them playing it safe, I hope.
No, I think, unfortunately, as with time as it went on, because people were buying them out, it's just that they know that they're not going to be able to ship them out fast enough to make enough of the supplies. Yes, there is a small chance that you could get it earlier, but unfortunately, Apple's really accurate with the way that their supply and demand.
No, keep my hopes up. Keep my hopes
up. Sorry, yeah. You'll probably be getting it April
24th. Yeah, that's what I thought. So yeah, I got a link of. I swear, I ordered mine at like 3:03 a.m. Like,
did you really? But it's because it's the black. The black version's for everyone. So I actually ordered my husband's black watch first. Then I ordered mine. His is May, and mine is April 24th.
Oh no way!
So if you had gotten the silver, the sport one, which they have the most of.
See, now this is just because it's going to be longer. It makes me want it more.
Right. I know. Aren't they brilliant? We are biologically made to want something more that is more difficult to get. That's even with personal relationships.
I don't know. It totally is. And then you're like, oh man, I just started dating her. And like, oh, actually, I don't want to date her.
Yeah, I know. But it was so hard to get them. I'm going to date them for a little while so that I can at least be like, because it was so difficult. Yeah. They were the sought after one. Yeah.
All right. We're running out of time. So we're going to kind of like pause this, and I'm sorry, Georgia, you're going to have to like come back on the show
sometime. That sounds awesome. I would love to.
But what we're going to do, this is going to be like an intro, and what I want the audience to do is immediately like start submitting, you know, questions or topics or feedback to questions@thefitcast.com. And even if who isn't on Twitter these days? You might not be, but you can send them to @fitcast. And also, if you want to throw in Georgia, she is @Georgia_Dow. And I am at Kevin Larrabee. It's hard to get the spelling down on that, but if you look hard enough, I'm the guy that is playing an arcade game in a Japanese arcade store, if you look at the pictures. So it's not too too hard to find that. I don't even know where people should go check your stuff out, Georgia, because like we mentioned, you're not only on Isometric video game podcast, you have a great podcast that you're doing, Vector, and then you're also writing for iMore.com, and iMore has a podcast that you're on.
iMore has a podcast that I am sometimes on as well. And then I do some, I love doing podcasts. So yeah. And if you try out any of the techniques and they work for you, I would love to hear about it. Yeah. That gives me a huge kick is when someone says, you know what, I tried this out and you know, I did it, or I made a list of my fitness achievements and I checked them off on the fridge, or like, I love that stuff. It really does, give me a huge sense of happiness and accomplishment if anything that worked tried out. And also if it doesn't, I would love to know. So,
well, I'm going to let you know because I just bought a calendar.
Sweet.
To put, and this is coming.
You're going
to
get stickers?
I should get stickers.
You should get some stickers. It's just cute.
All right.
It's just cute and fun.
Maybe I can find some like really, you know, tough, manly stickers. smell like
right.
dirt.
Right.
Like
of cars.
Sniff. Yeah, it smells like a new car.
Barbells.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right.
That's rock solid. And now, like Georgia said, give us some feedback on Twitter. You can also submit questions or future topics to questions@thefitcast.com. You can get to the Fitcast on Facebook. And don't forget, if you are a Patreon supporter of the show, you get access to all the agenda-free Fitcast episodes through that, and you can simply sign up for that at patreon.com/thefitcast for just $1 per episode, $4 a month.
Well, make sure so cheap that, too.
Oh, it's well, it's
that's
yeah, it's
nothing. And it's such a wonderful thing to do because you're supporting being able then to get more great podcasts. So everyone should send a little bit to support. I think that's wonderful.
Well, that's what we mentioned before. It's all about it's that barrier, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got to get there. You get a sign. It literally, I swear, it takes like 2 minutes to sign up. And then it just builds your credit card for like $4 a month. If you do the $1 per episode, it's $4 per month. Plus you get four extra episodes a month now. So
yeah, and we were chatting. It was like a long episode. So that's nothing.
You get to hear all about everything from Apple stuff to video games to
to what we like
the West
stuff
Wing.
That we've been up to and all of the crazy stories there.
Totally. It's I would almost say it's even more fun than what you just heard, but
it was even better.
This is the information. There's some fun if you're a Patreon supporter, and we try to mix in some fun in between all that stuff. But again, Georgia, thank you so much for taking time to come on the show. We'll definitely have to get you back on soon because like even Apple, come on, hook me up. Get that watch out there.
Right.
On April, whatever it is, 24. Well,
I'm going
to be in
supply.
Japan anyways, but get it there by the time I'm back from Japan.
Oh, you keep on saying that. Oh, that kills me. That is so amazing.
Tokyo sounds cooler than Japan, so now I just say I'm going to Tokyo.
I love it. I have to plan that.
Just do what the first trip I did, I had no money in my bank account. I had a credit card. I just booked it. And I just
said,
I'm going to pay this off eventually.
I'm going to have to ask you at some point about like costs and I'll talk after the show. I'll have to figure out how to do that best. And yeah.
Everyone should go to Tokyo. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and subscribing on iTunes. And if you're a Patreon supporter, and we'll see you next week. We're going to have Brian St. Pierre from Precision Nutrition. He's going to be coming back on to be talking about some really cool stuff that they got going on. Of course, answering all your nutrition and diet and like supplement related questions as well. See you next time.
Bye. Is done. It's our time for having fun. I'm gonna.